Support for WPR comes from the Stevens Point area, offering a variety of getaway experiences, itineraries and ideas for beer lovers, foodies, outdoor recreation fans, and more are at StevensPointArea.com.
Support for WPR comes from Rutabaga Paddle Sports, offering canoes, kayaks, and advice for anyone wanting to experience solitude on Wisconsin waterways. 2620 Rimrock Road in Madison or RutabagaShop.com.
This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. President Obama spoke to the nation this week about the possibility of using military force against Syria, which the U.S. says used chemical weapons against its people. Wisconsin Congressman Ron Kind is hoping diplomacy wins out over the use of military force to get Syria to surrender its chemical weapons. He reacts to President Obama's national address.
Well, the president had a very difficult case to make before the American people. It's a war-weary nation. I think we've run out of gas as a country when it comes to any further military action anywhere throughout the world, let alone in the Middle East and that. But there is some hope, and I'm glad the president's come to Congress for advice, consultation, ultimately a vote on potential authorization on the use of force. But I'm also glad he's pausing and looking at all diplomatic options first to see if there is a way to get Assad to surrender his chemical weapons stockpile and to destroy them. And so what Russia and Syria has put on the table might be constructive. We have a bad history of them stepping up and doing the right thing. So it's going to be verification, 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 and not just a delay tactic. But if it can avert any type of military action, I think the American people would be more comfortable with that approach ultimately.
Do you have any indication that the Assad regime would indeed hand over their chemical weapons?
Well, I do know this, with high degree of confidence. The only reason they're talking about surrendering their chemical weapons stockpile today is because of the threat of imminent force that could potentially be taken against them. It's the only reason why Russia today is stepping forward and trying to offer this plan. If that imminent threat of force is removed or eliminated, their whole plan dissolves overnight, and then we're right back into the same box. And then you have to make a difficult decision whether the international community with U.S. leadership takes some type of action to try to degrade and deter Assad from using these chemical weapons in the future. I mean, there's a reason why there's 100 years of precedent. The international community since World War I said, you can't use these weapons. They are too heinous, too indiscriminatory. It spreads and it kills multiples of people than what conventional weapons would do. And because of that, our troops have not faced any type of chemical weapons on the battlefield. But if a dictator like Assad can start using it with impunity, that would send a terrible message throughout the region and the world. North Korea has a much larger stockpile that they're sitting on. Iran's trying to develop nuclear capability. And they are watching very closely on what the international community's reaction to this will be. And I have had concerns. I'm undecided on any potential resolution that might come before us. I was just at the White House for 2 hours and 45 minutes yesterday, going through a lot of discussions with the national security team and the vice president. I've asked the administration for their best assessment of what the day after might look like if we do launch limited cruise missiles to hit limited military targets, what the reaction in the region might be. There are so many tripwires. I do not want to see us dragged into another prolonged military conflict in the Middle East after a decade of two long wars that's taken a terrible toll on both our troops and our treasure. So those answers are being put together.
So how is it that you're still torn? What sort of answers are you looking for that might solidify your decision?
Well, we have multiple security guarantees in the region with Turkey, with Jordan, with Israel, and trying to get a better assessment of what Assad's reaction may be, what Hezbollah's reaction might be, even Iran in the region, so that we're not unwillingly dragged into a larger conflict because of those security arrangements that exist. So we're trying to get the best intelligence assessment of what the likely reaction may be. And what we're hearing is that as long as it's targeted, as long as it's meant to degrade the chemical weapon capability and not to take Assad out, not regime change, then the reaction would be pretty mute. But there's no 100% guarantee in all this. And I don't think the nation, let alone myself, has the stomach for another long, prolonged military engagement in that region that might ultimately involve U.S. troops. The president's been very clear. That is not his intent. This would be extremely short in duration, limited in scope, meant to deter and degrade his chemical weapons. But if we can go through the Security Council and get Assad to forfeit his weapons and have the ability to destroy them, that would be the best of all outcomes that you could hope for.
And I want to talk about President Obama mentioned many times these targets within the region that would bring down their chemical weapon capabilities. What exactly does that mean? Is that we're looking at chemical weapon facilities?
Yeah, you know, again, this a lot goes into the calculation of Assad's motives. He's all about self-preservation. He wants to stay in power any way he can. And he knows that any type of conventional response from him would probably lead to his ouster one way or the other. But the military also can't telegraph what they're going to be targeting, and they can't in detail tell us members of Congress at this point because the president hasn't given the final order. I mean, he hasn't made the final decision of what targets are legitimate. So they're still working on all that. But I think a lot of folks back home, at least what I've heard, is they're under the illusion this may be of the scale of another Iraq, Afghanistan. That is not where the president's going with this. It would be extremely limited, very short in duration, and really targeted to his chemical deployment capability. Failure to deliver a message also delivers a message in the region, any type of response. And that's what we're trying to guard against. I don't want to see, and nor does the president, want to see these chemical weapons be the new IEDs and car bombs of the 21st century, where they can be used anywhere at any time against anyone, including against U.S. troops or civilian overseas or at home right here.
You know, I understand that there's an international law that chemical weapons shouldn't be used, but if still thousands of people are dying, regardless of the weapon being used, why target the chemical weapons?
Well, I think that the international community has recognized, especially from the horrors of the First World War, that chemical, biological weapons, they're different. They're much larger scale in potency and the numbers afflicted, and they are completely indiscriminate. We saw the images on YouTube of the children that were gassed and the victims of the recent gassing within Syria. And that's why, again, the international community, 190 nations, have signed the chemical weapons ban. Assad's one of the last holdouts in the entire world not to do so. So there's been consensus already in the international community that there have to be some lines drawn. And therefore, if you're going to be drawing those lines, there's going to have to be an international response. And this is one of the real big first tests of that. So I'm hoping and praying that Russia-Syria is coming forward with a good faith plan in order to avert any type of military action. But the consensus in the international community is growing. And in fact, this pause that's been hit here has really given the international community more time to think through the ramifications of action or no action being taken. But I also appreciate, and being back home over the last couple of weeks, the great concern that most Americans share about another military involvement in the Middle East.
Have you heard from a lot of your constituents, and what is the consensus? Is it that, as you said before, they're war fatigued?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that we as a nation have run out of gas when it comes to any type of military intervention. And barring any direct attack on U.S. soil, there's not much stomach or enthusiasm for doing much these days. And you can understand why with Iraq, Afghanistan, and the terrible toll on both our troops and treasure during the last decade of that. That people are tired, and we've got a lot of nation building to do right here at home. I understand that. We have large budget deficits that we're grappling with. Of course, another military excursion could be expensive, too. And that's why I think the president in last night's speech, too, was being very clear. What he's talking about is very limited strategic targeting to send a message to Assad and hopefully degrade his capability of being able to move forward. And again, I'm convinced that we wouldn't be at this point of possibly going to the UN Security Council with a resolution but for that imminent threat of force hanging over Syria's head right now. They'd have no other motivation for doing that. And that's why I think it's going to be important for the Congress to be strategic in our deliberations, too. That we don't do something unwittingly that might send a signal to Russia and Syria that they have nothing to fear as far as any type of potential military action.
President Obama hasn't completely closed the door to military action in Syria. It just kind of depends on what happens. But as you keep asking, what will the next day look like? In your conversations you've had with people and as you've digested all this information, if the U.S. were to attack Syria, what in your mind, what does the next day look like?
The best assessment that you can have right now is that there's no other nation that wants any type of conventional confrontation with the United States. It's a mismatch, and they know that. But what we could see is some type of order to some terrorist group to hit an embassy, especially I think Baghdad is very vulnerable. But that exists today. And whether that happens, you'd have to see. But again, there are security precautions being taken, as they are every day throughout that region, to guard our embassy personnel against attacks. It's a little ironic we're having this conversation 1 year after Benghazi and the loss of Ambassador Stevens there, but that wasn't an embassy compound that occurred on that day. So, again, that's why I've asked for these assessments and the best calculation that our intelligence agencies can give us on what the day after, what the consequences of cruise missile strikes in Syria might bring.
Are there other concerns about other forms of retaliation, not only in Syria, but just across the region?
Well, one of the concerns that some of the countries in the region have is if the military strike is too potent, Assad regime and those what remains of the institutions of governance in Syria could collapse overnight. And let's face it, there are some bad actors operating in Syria today, too. And then who ultimately is going to come into control of these chemical weapons stockpiles? And I know the president shares the same type of concern, is that they don't fall into the wrong hands or they don't proliferate throughout the region. I think that's also one of the motivating factors for Russia right now to offer this plan, is they don't want to see these weapons fall into Chechnya hands or groups that might use them against Russian forces too. And so it's really an interesting dynamic, all viewed through the eyes of self-interest in the region right now. And there's great concern that these weapons might spread and be used in other countries.
This seems to be the first conflict or building conflict that the American public and members of Congress have really talked through. And there has been more hesitation regarding this than other conflicts in the past. Why do you think that is?
I think, you know, we've got the ghost of Iraq that's still walking the hallways here, and justifiably so. I think many of us feel we were misled with the intelligence that was offered leading up to the intervention in Iraq. I know at the time that once we got weapons inspection teams in Iraq, I was pleading with President Bush and the administration to give them time to do their job because they weren't finding anything and that this action may be under false information or false pretenses. But instead of doing that, the president ordered the inspection teams out and sent our troops in. And as we say, the rest is history. So the threshold of proof and caution is much higher today than it was in the past. And I think it's good to have that healthy skepticism and to go through this deliberative process and ask the tough questions. I think it's a different situation. I think the intelligence is clear that these weapons were used. It was the Assad regime that had control of them. I don't think there's much dispute about that, but the concern, again, is the extent of the military involvement, what this is going to mean in regards to our involvement in the region, and whether what's done could ultimately be effective in dissuading Assad from using these weapons in the future.
So you're glad that the Obama administration is taking their time on this?
Well, I am. I think all other options should be exhausted first before a military option is on the table. And that's what the president is willing to do now. He wants to see how much good faith is being put forward by Russia and Syria and China, for that matter, because China now has come out and endorsed this plan for Assad to surrender his chemical weapons. And this could establish a very important precedent for other nations that have or are developing these chemical or biological weapons in the future. So we're going to have to wait and see over the next days, if not next couple of weeks, of just how sincere this gesture is. But I think we also need to be realistic and our eyes wide open. This is not a situation of trust and verify. This is all about verification. And this can't be used as a delay tactic by Assad.
The congressional vote has been postponed on military action in Syria, just seeing how they cooperate within the international community. So what is it, Congressman Kine, that you'll be doing over the next few days, weeks, in regards to this situation in Syria? What will you be paying attention to?
Well, we're still receiving classified briefings. I had a long hour and a half one this morning yet, and there'll be more this week, next week again, because this is an evolving situation. I think as time lapses, the evidence of the chemical weapons strike in Syria only grows stronger against Assad, and it's just removing any remaining doubt. I mean, just a few days ago, Assad was even denying that he had chemical weapons stockpiled. Now he's willing to surrender them. So progress has been made on that front, that at least he's acknowledging that he's got possession of these weapons, where he and Russia in the past have even denied that that existed. And I think there's growing support in the international community now, including from China, that Assad is someone who cannot be trusted with these type of stockpiles. So the circle is being closed around Syria right now, and hopefully Russia won't be up to their same tactics by blocking any type of action taken with the UN Security Council. And in the days to come, we'll see just how sincere this offer is, or if it's merely a way to avert a military strike and hope things just go away so they can go back to their old practices.
Congressman Kine, is there anything else you want to talk about?
I appreciate the deep concern people hold back home about this. And I think there's been a lot of confusion about the extent of the military action the president is seeking authorization for. You know, Peggy Lee had the famous song back in the 1950s with this constant refrain, "Is that all it is? Is that all there is?" And I think if this does lead to some type of cruise missile strike, people are going to be looking back and thinking, is that all this was? Is that what this was about? Rather than seeing boots on the ground or extended engagement and more Guard and Reserve units being called up, that is not the type of authorization the president is seeking, and that's really not what the Pentagon is planning for today.
Wisconsin Congressman Ron Kind giving his views about the situation in Syria. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, we talk with experts from UW-La Crosse and Viterbo University about the situation in Syria. Visit our website at wpr.org/newsmakers, where we also have reactions from some area veterans to the situation in Syria. Also on our website, you can find archives to this and other recent editions of Newsmakers at wpr.org/newsmakers. You can also like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.